And freedom, the priest, the word of God. I pray, God, you help me to say what you want me to say. I'm nothing more and nothing less. I pray, God, you guide my speech and my actions. Now I pray, God, as the words, our Lord, flow through the air. I pray, God, that they would touch the hearts and the minds of each person, God, that's assembled here, as well as those who are watching. Now I pray, God, that your word will sink inside of us and then begin to produce some great things, Father. I pray, God, you change our mindset, change our thought process. And God, help us to think, God, as you'd have us to think. It's amazing when we think like you want us to think, we won't be so defeated. We won't be so discouraged. We won't be so fearful, but we have much courage. And with that, Father, we'll thank you. Help somebody because somebody needs your help. I pray, God, we leave much encouraged because of your presence tonight. Father, for that, God, we'll praise you. And then, God, there's one among us who's not saved, blood bought, and born again. What a day to receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, yes, sir, and King. And for that, God, we'll praise you too. That's it for now, Father. Of course, in your Son's name, we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Living on the other side. Oftentimes, we're not living on the right side. You know how you have the old term, some folks are living on the other side of the tracks? but the truth of the matter is, God wants us to live on a certain side of this Christian life. But oftentimes, we're living on the other side. As you begin to look at the verse number 8, the Bible says the word beyond Jordan. That means the opposite side across. As I said a few moments ago, what that means is this. Remember now, you have the Jordan River. Here's the Jordan River. They've crossed the Jordan River. Now they're in Canaan. They're in Canaan. But now the 2.5 tribes, they have their inheritance on this side of Canaan. And there's a reason for that. We're going to see that in a few moments. But that's not where they originally were supposed to be in. But that's a portion of land that they wanted. And what that reminds me of is this. As Christians, sometimes we get saved, blood bought, and born again. A lot of times we want certain things that are on the other side of the Christian life. And we know that this is where we ought to be. But that looks so appealing. There's certain things over there that we seem to like. And that's what we see that happens right here with the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, the first thing we see is the reason. The reason. Why did they want to be on this side of Jordan? Well, let's go. Got to go back to Numbers. Hold your place here. But go back to Numbers 32 and verse number 1. Numbers 32 and look at verse number 1. This is going to help somebody tonight. It sure did help me. Look at Numbers 32 and verse number 1. Now, this is when Moses was still alive. Now, this is on the other side of Canaan, the other side of Jordan. The Bible says this is the reason. Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of what? Cattle. And when they saw, now be careful what you see. When they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar, the priest, unto the princes of the congregation. This is what they said, saying this, Ashtaroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrod and Heshbon and Eliab and Sheban and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation, listen to this, of Israel, is a land for cattle. And thy servants have what? Cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. So what happens is, they said, look, we got a lot of cattle. And on this side, man, this is some good land. It's got some good watering places. Man, we have a lot of cattle. It's good for our cattle. It's good for our what? Livelihood. Mm-hmm. Our living. And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we'll make decisions, my dear friends, based on our living or based on material things or based on money. And sometimes, my dear friends, not that the grass was bad. Nothing wrong with the grass. Nothing was wrong with the water. The problem was, it was on the other side of Jordan. It was on the other side of the promised land. And because of that, my dear friends, they're going to have a lot of trouble on this side. But the reason was, the whole thing that spearheaded it was, hey, this is a good place that we can take care of our flock, our cattle, which means we'll have a whole lot more money. But you know what? The same God that made this whole earth had that land over in Canaan. They could have that cattle in Canaan. They could have prospered in Canaan. One thing I like about the basketball season has just ended. And I'm thinking about the San Antonio Spurs. Tim Duncan. Now here's a guy who is ranked as one of the top basketball players ever. He's in that category. The top 50 or top 100, whatever it is. But you know what? Now it's still a lot of money to me. But he's going to make $10.5 million next year. And that's a lot of money. But in basketball, you got these other guys making $20 million, double of what he'll be making. Now, he could easily demand that much. But, my dear friends, he has more than enough to take care of his needs. But he wants to play. He wants to have a good team. He wants to have a good foundation. And by the way, he's a good guy. If you study his background, he's a really good guy. But it's not all about money. Not about how much I can get. Sometimes we want to get as much as we can get. And then some. I mean, we get so greedy. I mean, we start slobbering now. I mean, we're like, oh, maybe I can get some more. I mean, calm down. Because sometimes, because of that greed and that hunger for more and more can lead you down a path of destruction. And that's exactly what's going to happen to these 2.5 tribes. These 2.5 tribes said, this is the reason. Man, it looks good on this side. But you know what? It might be good for the cattle. But it's going to be bad for the children. Their offspring is going to suffer. So now, flip back over with me. Back over to Joshua. First, we see the reason. And then secondly, we see the failed removal. The Bible mentions all these places from verses 9 to verse number 12 that they were to possess. Now, notice what it says in verse 13, though. The Bible says, nevertheless, the children of Israel, and this is speaking of the 2.5 tribes, expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites, but the Gershurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Why? Because they did not expel them. During this writing, they are still living in the country and the land that the children of Israel have now possessed. But they still got some folks there who they're supposed to have kicked out. But they did not kick them out. And because of that, my dear friends, it's going to cause them to have misery and turmoil and more misery and more turmoil. Why? Because they would not expel those whom God wants them to put out. I wonder what things in our life God wants us to expel, to get rid of, that we got hanging around. Whatever's hanging around, my dear friends, is going to hurt us in the long haul. Let me give you one example. You all know about David, King David. Did you know that King David had some problems as a result of what took place right here? Because they did not get rid of the Gershurites and the Maccathites, David had trouble. Let's look at David's trouble. Look with me over to 1 Samuel 27 and verse number 8. Now we're fast forwarding. We're past the stage of Joshua. Now we're down to King David. And look what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse number 8. Listen, these folks are going to have an ungodly influence on the children of Israel, and they're going to have needless battles that they don't have to fight if in fact they've gotten them out of there. Look at 1 Samuel 27 and look at verse number 8. The Bible says this. And David and his men went up and invaded, there it is, the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land. And thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Well, he beat them folks up. Mm-hmm. But apparently he didn't beat everybody up. What do you mean? Fast forward. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3. See, sometimes we carry certain things with us that perhaps we should have left behind. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 3 verse 3, and it's talking about David's children. We'll start in verse 2. And unto David were sons born in Hebron. His firstborn was who? Amnon of Hinnom, the Jezreelitess. His second, Shelib of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of who? Geshur. The Geshurites. He's part of that family. He went down there and brought him back a wife that was with them, part of them folks. And then he had a son, Absalom. Somebody, well, what's wrong with Absalom? You know. Look at that, brother. Let me show you now. It's amazing. It's blowing my mind. Look what the Bible says now in 2 Samuel 13 and verse 37. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 37. What are you saying to us, preacher? What I'm showing us is by living on the other side can cause a lot of problems that we don't have to have. Now, watch what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13 and verse 37. The Bible says this in verse 37. But Absalom, let's back up. We got to back up. Verse 34. But Absalom fled. We got to back up. Verse 33. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Who killed him? Absalom. Absalom kills his brother. And the Bible says in verse 34, but Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hill, side behind him. And the Bible says, and Jonadab said to the king, behold, the king's son come. As thy servant said, so it is. The verse says in verse 36, and it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all the servants wept very sore. But Absalom, watch it, watch it, watch it, fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amahud, king of who? Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. The same place. See, a lot of times we think, well, I may have messed up back here, but they ain't going to fit nothing down the road. If they had taken care of them folks a long time ago, Absalom would not have had anywhere to run to. Absalom wouldn't even be born. But David gets him, gets her. He has a child by her. Here, Absalom, he kills his brother. And now, my friends, he's on the run and he goes back to Geshur. The story don't end there. What the Bible says next. Then flip forward to 2 Samuel 14 and verse 23. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 14 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, verse 23. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. He's gone for 3 years. David is pretty much sad about the whole affair. So one of his servants goes and gets his son and brings him home. But notice, remember, David didn't speak to him for about, 2 years, I believe it was, something of that nature. But now watch what happens when he brought him back. Look at verse, now look at 2 Samuel 15 and verse 2. 2 Samuel 15. And look at verse number 2. The Bible says this. And Absalom rose up early and stood by beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Hey, what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said to him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man, a deputy of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice if I was in charge. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him whatever that word is, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel and came to the king for judgment. So here it is. Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Here's this son that came from a place that shouldn't have even been. And now he's there stealing the hearts of the people. Then the Bible says, my dear friends, in verse number 7, and it came to pass after, my soul, 40 years. The Bible says that Absalom said to the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow, while I abode at Gershra in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then will I serve the Lord. He's lying. He says, David, let me go back to where I was at, because I made a vow back there that I would serve you. And let me go to Hebron, because I made a vow down in Gershon, and that I'm going to serve the Lord, and all this kind of stuff. He was lying. Because for 40 years, he had been stealing the hearts of the people. And now, my dear friends, it's time to put everything into action. He's about to try to overthrow his own father. He's about to try to kill his own daddy. Now, fast forward and drop down to verse number 13. The Bible says, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said to all the servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, let us run, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. Here's his daddy on the run. You know the story. David runs. Absalom chases him. Of course, when the end of the story comes about, Absalom is killed. It's all said and done. His hair is caught up in the tree. He comes out and cut his head. He dies. David mourns and grieves over his son. Then one of the servants comes and says, David, you act as if you wish we were dead. But he was hurting over his son. What are you saying, preacher? It all goes back to when those 2.5 tribes on this side of Jordan, on this side of Canaan, they stayed there. But on top of that, they did not expel those folks who were living there. Those folks stayed there among them. And then, my dear friends, it caused them to have troubles for years and years to come. They had battles they didn't have to have. And then on top of that, watch what happens. We see the final results. We see their downfall. Look at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 5 and verse 25. What are you saying, preacher? When we are living on the other side, there's going to be an end. There's going to be a downfall. In other words, there's going to be a car wreck. Somebody's going to get hurt. Look what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse number 25. The Bible says, and they, talking about the 2.5 tribes, and they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them. What's happened? Now they're chasing these very gods that they were not supposed to be worshiping. Now, you know how we say, man, I ain't worshiping no God. Listen, there's all types of gods. All types of gods we worship. Whether it's our jobs, it's our cars, it's our money, it's our houses, it's individuals, it's ourself. We worship. We worship. And the thing about it, anything you put before God, my dear friends, that is what you worship. That is your God. And when we do that, my friends, we are going to have a crash. We're going to have, my dear friends, a spiritual car wreck. We put anything ahead of God. What we're doing, my friends, is we're living on the other side. And a lot of time, my friends, we don't mind being a part of the family of God, but we still want some things on this side of Jordan, on this side of Canaan. But when you stay on that side of Canaan, it's going to cause you more grief, more heartache, more pain that you don't have to have. But sometimes we want that. Now watch this. The Bible said, verse 26, and the God of Israel, stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, and he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, and brought them unto Halah and Habor and Hera, and to the river Gozan until this day. They were captives, slaves. They were defeated. They were the first of the 12 tribes to be taken into captivity. Why? Because of where they lived at. They lived on this side. And because they lived on this side, they started worshiping those other gods. And then, my dear friends, listen, there's a time. Listen, God loves us. But hey, don't you get mistaken now. There comes a time when God will pull out, my friends, that spiritual paddle. And when he pulls that spiritual paddle out, that means somebody about to get a spanking. So, well, God is a God of love. He's a God that just wants to hug on us and he's a love on us. He do. But my friend, he will spank your behind. A good parent, an excellent parent, a right parent will chastise his children. If you do not chastise your children, you are a bad parent. Not according to me, but according to the word of God. And even God, who is our example, my friends, he whips his children when they don't do right. Preacher, can you show me? No problem. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, and look down, my dear friends, at verse number 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. God does not try to hurt anybody, but only trying to help us. Look what the Bible says right here in Hebrews chapter number 12, and drop down to verse number 5. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and ye have forgotten, y'all have forgot, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. I don't want no whooping. What ain't no right? I mean, God ain't walking around going, who can I whip? He raised his hand. But who can I whip? God ain't doing that. God don't want to whip anybody. But the Bible says this. He says right here, look at verse 5 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. He says this, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Here it is. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. Because you're his son, because you're his daughter, that's why he chastens you. And it's because he loves you. He loves you. And sometimes we get it all mixed up. We feel like, well, if I whip my kids, they don't think I don't love them. No, they ain't. They're going to know you love them. Many of us are sitting right here today. We'll say this, man, I'm so glad my mama used to whip me or my daddy whipped me because they had not been. Who knows? I've been worse than what I was. But we don't whip our children. We don't chastise them. I ain't say God, we whip them for everything, but chastise them. I mean, take away some of them videos and take away. Do you take that cell phone away? They'd have a heart attack. I can't function. Give them the right. And listen, my friend, when you tell them you can't have it for a day or two, don't give in. Don't go, well, he had, yeah, he had the right. He walking around, he floating around the house. You know, can I help you? Yeah, you can help me, all right. You know, but we'll give in. Okay. Christian, she's give us, what do you call that, Joe? The puppy dog guy? The little bugs guy, but we call it the puppy dog guy too, I think. It was a little Bugs Bunny. And she would get a little, you remember how Bugs Bunny would do something? He'd be that little sad, little face. And Chris would do all that. And I'd be like, oh, but I'm strong. You know, Julian right behind me, you better not get me into that. I mean, but that's how we are. But God loves us. Now watch what the Bible goes on to say in verse number 7. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, the Bible says, then are you bastards and not sons. That means you don't belong to him. You're not a part of his family. The Bible goes on to say, my dear friends, furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Should we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For the Bible says that they burn it for a few days, chasing us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So we can do right. Listen, when you and I are living on the other side, at some point, God is going to chastise us. He's going to whip on us to get us to do what we ought to be doing. Here you have them on that side. They got that land over there because they begged, they pleaded for it. I can't read all the different stories. There's too much in the Bible. You have to just research this for yourself. But over there, when they came to Moses the first time and they said to Moses, we want this land over here. He said, so what you going to do? Stay over here while your brothers go over here and fight in Canaan? He said, no, you're not going to do that. He said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to leave our children here. We're going to leave our families right here. We're going to go fight with them. And then we're going to come back once we've won the victories over there. He said, well, if you're going to do that, then that's fine. And that's where that verse comes in where it says, and be sure your sin will find you out. Because he said, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, he said, and be sure your sin will find you out. Listen, my dear friends, let's not live on the other side. But let's live on the side in Canaan. On this side of Jordan. Let's go back and we're done. We'll go back over there to Joshua. Go back to Joshua. We see the reason, the failed removal, and the final results. The Bible says here in verse number 13, nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Gershurites, nor the Maachathites, but the Gershites and the Maachathites dwell among the Israel until this day, until this writing. And what happened, my dear friends, is it caused them problems. And this is our question. Our question is this. Are you living in Canaan or close to the other side? See, sometimes what we do, we want to live close to the other side. We don't want to be, you know, all the way in there. We just want to be real close. If I just stay close, I mean, I can kind of enjoy a little bit that got going on over here, but then I can quickly jump back on this side over here. When you get close to this side over here, after a while, you're going to start smelling like that side. See? And see, the thing about it is there's things on this side that are very appealing. There's things that are on this side that draw you. Because see, everything on this side ain't bad. But what happens, my dear friends, is as you begin to get involved in those things, it leads to bad things. So that's why a lot of times when I go to certain events and stuff, I don't stay too long. God knows what's about to happen. I mean, listen, it ain't like I've been, I wasn't born preaching, okay? I mean, I used to live out there too, you know? I mean, you go to a wedding or you go to a funeral and hey, everything's going to be okay for a while. But when the night falleth, then all of a sudden the red cups start coming out and all these types of things, you know, I mean, and people start doing stuff and then all of a sudden you're in a bad way. And then your flesh, you got a flesh. And those of you who used to live out there in that world, in that flesh, your flesh be like, well, that wasn't all that bad. You know, you be sitting there moving around like that. You know, before you know it, you know, he's like, whoa, where'd that come from? I don't know what happened down there. I mean, sometimes I go to Ultra. I'm like, what? Y'all need to stop this at Ultra. We've been at an Ultra at nighttime trying to shop. And song be coming on. Next thing I know, I'm like, woo! I'm like, run back, run back. I'm sorry, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, what? And he goes, oh, preacher, what's wrong with it? It's not so much that. What does it lead to? What does it lead to? I mean, I get there and I'm not like, you know what? They got a contest going on down there. I'm like, well, I mean, I still got a few old moves down there. Come on. That's, you know, like, what? You see me in the Hammond Times. Say, no, pastor wins contest. You know what I'm saying? Y'all be all messed up. Like, I don't know about this. I'm all messed up. What I'm saying is this. When you stay close. That's why get away from all that stuff. You got to get away from all that stuff. Because somebody's going to draw you back in. I love sports, but there was a time I had to separate from sports for a long period of time. It was a number of years. Cause I mean, every game was a big game. Everything was like, I mean, I was just like, I mean, I knew all the college. I mean, I knew all that stuff, but I had to separate myself from that stuff. And then I can watch it now. I'm not all wrapped up into it. You know, but I still enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I like my sports, but it ain't like it used to be before. It was just like, you know, I mean, it's like this game. You know, this game, this one, this, if you understand, Heather, you still understand, this game right here, it's like them. I mean, if they win this game, oh, they're going all the way. Then they win that game. They come in the next game. And every game come on at 12 noon. On Sunday, 12 noon. You know, you think that's by accident? Come on now. I mean, 12 noon. You know, all of a sudden, all the men start getting sick. They start getting feel, oh, baby, my stomach. My stomach hurt. I watch it on live streaming. I live stream it today. You know, and I watch what's going on. You sure you can have one phone on live stream and then the other thing, come on. I believe y'all alone. Anyhow, the question is this though. Are you living in Canaan or close to the other side? Now that's up to you. They didn't have to stay on that side of Jordan. They chose to, but they didn't have to. And I can list you one situation after another where there was trouble because it was on that side. When the enemy would come to attack Israel, they was always vulnerable because they was on this side of Jordan. So they'd be on this side, then they had something, at least there was a buffer in between them. But they was on that side right there. It always was something going on, always something going on. And sometimes that happens to us because we live on the other side. There's always stuff going on. We're like, why is there always stuff going on? Always stuff going on. Well, why is it? Maybe because I'm living too close to the other side. I need to change sides. So the question is this. Are you living in Canaan or close to the other side? And the second was just a statement. Let's pray together. And let's ask the Lord to keep us on the right side of the Jordan. Because I don't care who you are. If you're not careful, you'll slip back over to the other side. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And I just pray and ask God that your short message tonight will help somebody. Help somebody to realize just where they're at. And Father, each of us, for myself included, we need to pray and ask you God to keep us on the right side because our flesh, it yearns for these other things. It longs for these other things because we still have that old nature. That old man still lives there. But I pray and ask God to give us strength, give us power, give us victory over that which tries to draw us. And I pray and ask God that we would enter into that Canaan land and enjoy all the great things that you have there for us. Yes, it's going to be battles, but like the Bible teaches us, to be of good courage and we shall be victorious. I pray for my brothers and sisters today, God, who come, and I pray, God, you help each of us. If anybody else had come for any other reason, maybe it had nothing to do with this message, but they want to come and talk to you for a few moments, I pray, God, they come talk to you and then get help from you. And we'll thank you, Lord. Help somebody, please. For us in your son's name, we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you want to come talk.